You're listening to Strictly Business Podcast with Lindsay Williams.
The JSE has closed its doors for another day, so it's time for the 5 o'clock shadow with Greg Davies, Chief Trader at Kratos Capital, as always, and which is going to become a feature twice a week, Tuesdays and Thursdays. We have David Shapiro, who is from Sasfin Securities in Johannesburg. David, start with you. So many stories. Greg and I spoke on the opening this morning. We did a late opening, half past 10, 11 o'clock opening. So much going on. It was Sasol, it was Anglo-American, it was all sorts of other companies, AB InBev. It really was quite a good day for the JSE, I thought.
I think the big story is, and one that's also having quite an effect, I've got Capco to add to that, but Moody's coming out and attacking Eskom's bailout, saying that it's credit negative. And that's put the rand under pressure, so 14.04. And I also think it's possibly responsible for a lot of weakness that we've seen in SA Inc. companies, you know, retailers under pressure and also the banks under quite a lot of pressure. It's offset to an extent by some of the miners and also the AB InBevs, et cetera. But understand that, you know, this is the first sign that Moody's getting impatient and likely to do something. Maybe they'll wait till October. I don't know. But the Eskom bailout and the call for Eskom to issue more stocks, I think, is having quite a negative effect on a side of our market. So that's also a big story influencing trends here.
Yes, indeed, Greg. Let's go through the Stock Exchange new service announcements, if we can. And we spoke this morning about Anglo-American PLC, and we were enthusing about these numbers. And just remind David about what we said. I mean, it's a stalwart of the JSE. It's buying back shares. It's paying dividends to the tune of increase of 27%, et cetera, et cetera. Really, really good news, I thought.
Some wise guy on Twitter said, why weren't they buying shares back when it's 2016 and it was 55 rand? Obviously, they didn't have the money then. but the share price reacting strongly in the opening and then not so strong in the afternoon.
I think possibly on maybe believing that commodity prices might have seen their best. But I mean, from an operational point of view, full credit to Kutafani. The company today is far cry from it where it was under Cynthia Carroll, and I've always liked him. He's been straight down the line, and you're getting the impact of it. So you know he's a man that you like, and he's got good people underneath him. And Chris Griffiths at Anglo Platts, Kumba doing pretty well as well. I haven't looked at the other issues. I haven't looked at the copper mines in Chile and also what's happening with Minas Rias. But I mean, overall, very good number.
Very good indeed.
And also those dividends from Kumba and Amplats is obviously going to flow up to the parent Anglos, which is obviously also going to help them.
Yeah, of course.
Would you buy it, either of you? Let's talk about the numbers now. 27% increase in dividend, $1 billion potential share buyback. The share price has gone from 51, 52, which Greg and I were talking about this morning, David, up to whatever it is now. Would you be buying it here?
I'm holding on to my BHP, but I think credit to Anglos. I still think there's a bit of momentum behind the mining shares. You know, I'm one who's watching that iron ore price very, very carefully and saying, hold on, everybody's talking it down, but no one's listening. You know, and I've got the same attitude towards Sasol. Everybody's talking it up, but no one's listening. You know, that worries me a bit. So I think that he can continue to extract decent value. And I don't think there's anything in the global economy that really makes me shake. I think we've done most of the bad stuff. So I'm not a pessimist on that front, so I would be happy to buy. I'm not going to buy, but I would be happy to buy. I haven't got enough money to buy.
What's the difference? No, wait a second. No, just take a step back here.
No, it's a buy.
I'm not going to buy, but I would be happy to buy. Yeah, that is a complete contradiction, David.
Yeah. What I'm trying to say is that it depends on what kind of portfolios you're managing, at the moment, for me to increase my exposure to commodities would be mean selling down my BHP, and that's the point.
Okay.
But I think if you've got room for it, I would take both of them. I'd take BHP and and Anglos.
Greg, is this a day trading stock for you? I mean, you've got a team of traders there at Kratos Capital. Do they look at Anglo American PLC simply because of its liquidity, or is it just a little bit too pedestrian, a little too much of an oil tanker to entice them?
No, that's one of the favorites. When it's in play on a day like today, obviously with the numbers, and you get big volume, you get big share price movements from the lows to the highs, this is where the day traders come into their own, really. This is their bread and butter, really, on days like this. I mean, it did trade 765 million rands worth of shares. So that's a decent whack. Obviously, it's dual listed, so the guys can look at the prices and price of the stock in the UK and try and get ahead of or behind the flows from that side as well. So it's always been a great trading stock.
Sasol has always been a great trading stock as well. And I noticed with a good deal of disdain, actually, after the trading update that they came out with today at 7:05 a.m. South African time, that the share price did this and it did that. But then I suddenly looked at it and it's suddenly not 350, suddenly it's below 320. Greg, just continuing with you, because we follow Sasol together quite assiduously, this is a really big stock that's really under huge pressure.
It felt like about 3 weeks ago we were talking about 350 Rand being a big support. I know the guys at Standard Bank, which are really rated analysts on Sasol, had put out a bearish report, and that sort of knocked it below the 350. But sort of mid-afternoon, there was a very, very aggressive sell-off. Fell back to 302 Rand. Did rally towards the end of 308. Also, big value trading there, 1.7 billion Rands worth of shares. Those are nice pass type numbers, really, for Sasol.
David, Sasol, 308.94 is what I'm seeing on my slightly delayed screen. This is a really, really big move.
It closed at 308. That's down about, I don't know, 5.5%, over 6.5%. And Lindsay, we've gone back to 2011 type prices. So we've gone back 8 years. And the concern is that if there were impairments now of 18 billion, in other words, writing down, and that means they're actually writing down the assets, bringing them in line with where they expect to make returns. So they're also complaining about chemical prices are under pressure there. In other words, the returns that everybody thought they would get a few years ago are not going to materialize. My big worry is that debt is still high, and the concern is that they're going to cut back on the dividend, or they could cut back on the dividend. And I think a lot of the projections that traders or investors have been making are not going to be met. We're going to reach bottom territory in about 280 or something. But I mean, it's been a very ugly ride. And also, one's got to look at management. You know, operationally, they give a whole reasons of how well they're doing. And then they come out with these impairments and earnings and so on, and it worries me. And I think that one's got to take a much closer look at this if you do feel in. Hey, Lindsay, it's a big one. You know, this is a
big monster
stock.
Yeah, it's big. Yeah.
What do you do with it then? You just mentioned 280. 280 is, I don't know whether you're a chartist or whether some analyst that you've read said that 280 is the break-even point given certain semantics or something. But 280 is another 28 Rand per share down from here. Would you be buying it from below 300, in other words?
You know what, Lindsay? I was one at 360. I heard you. You know, you were talking to Greg, and you said that was my bottom. I thought 360 was always a buy. 360, 440, 500. You make lots of money.
Sorry about that.
And it just sliced through there. No, that was my own perception. I'm telling you, it just sliced through there. And you know, now it's got a market cap of about, I don't know, 195 billion, etc. Which is Sunlam South 32 Kumba roundabout there. And it's just falling below, you know, just creating massive destruction. I don't know what its percentage. I don't know what its percentage is in the top 40, but I think it's quite an influential company there.
That size at 195 billion market cap, it's quite big, but it's really getting smaller by the day.
It was number seven in the top 40. Yes, obviously, Naspers, BHP, and Richemont dominate, but I mean. It was just under first Rand, but now it's falling out there and has a terrible effect on the market, on all the traders, or all the ETF traders, or sure.
Look, I think the feeling you got today was a lot of capitulation, really. You know, we were saying our levels were 315, we would have thrown in the towel. But that last bit of selling, like people obviously, exactly what you were saying with the debt, the time that it's going to cost to get this company profitable was sort of 24 months. Now it looks like a much longer period. People think there's better value elsewhere, and just throwing in the towel with us at the moment. So that may be the opportunity. As you say, 280, it'll start to look interesting.
I'll tell you what,
ready to bust, what's her name? I'm ready to bust SA Corp, you know, all the reputations. Just put them in a bonfire. And
I see it on my screen's correct. The PE is around about 7, so pretty low. But I mean,
that's history.
That's historical. Look, it may not be a dividend season as well.
Well, let's look at a stock. Let's look at a large stock that has boosted the JSE today. And the company's name is something that you probably are both very, very familiar with. Anheuser-Busch InBev, this share price up around about 6.5% today. And although in Johannesburg at the moment, it's probably going to be tonight 4 or 5 degrees, I'm in Rotterdam at the moment, and it's 39 degrees. And the one thing that I can also almost sort of hallucinate at the moment, looking at a beer. I've got this sort of shimmering beer in my mind ahead of me now. And Anheuser-Busch had its best, I think, volume increase for 5 years. Greg, Anheuser-Busch up 6.5%. This is a massive, massive stock doing incredibly well. You don't see 6.5% on a stock like this very often.
Yes, it had a tremendous day. Unfortunately, it's not really linked to the All Share Index. I think David was pointing out on his Twitter earlier. So it wouldn't be able to push the All Share Index that much better because it's a secondary listing here.
Yes.
But still a spectacular move. Value of trade, $892 million. So brokers in the JSE all making money out of this one. You always thought that maybe the purchase of SA Breweries would give it a hangover, excuse the pun, but they seem to be getting on top of that.
Yeah, they do. David Shapiro, you like a bit. I mean, you're one of these lunatics that runs about 20 kilometres every morning at about 5 o'clock, but you still like a beer occasionally, don't you?
No, I love it. In fact, the other evening I had a Stella. I love Stella Draft.
Stella Artois, oh my gosh, yeah.
Draft.
Stop it now.
No, I enjoy Stella, and you know, the Corona is the other. So their premium brand's doing pretty well, which is – I'm not a great Budweiser. I mean, that's got to be the worst beer that's ever produced.
Yeah.
But Stella makes up for it. And
Do you remember during the Football World Cup that they had, was sponsored by Budweiser, and that's all you could get in a plastic bottle.
That was
off drinking beer. Yeah.
It was flavored water. Yes. Just like boiled water with some vegetables in. You know,
no, it's really got rice. It's actually made of rice, this stuff. I mean, it's absolutely disgusting. But talking about drinks, Diageo's results came out today. I don't know if you saw those. I saw an interview with the CEO today, and he said people are drinking cleverer or people are drinking smarter. I don't know how you can drink smarter or drink cleverer because alcohol befuddles your brain. But I think what he was saying was that people are upgrading to more premium brands, which is interesting.
They've got great brands, huh? You know, they've got wonderful brands. They're Johnny Walker. I think they're Smirnoff. They've got other brands that I can't recall now, but there is this move toward by smarter drinks. I think they're, they're doing more things with whiskey, doing more things with vodka, you know, the mixes and so on. So I think that is, aren't they absolute? I don't know.
They're copying the way that wine has always marketed itself. Oh, there's only one of 500 bottles, and they've been doing that with the whiskey, and now they're doing it with the tequila. So they're trying to make you feel like you're getting something which is scarce, really. And it's a different blend, and it's something special. And, you know, this is the only one I can drink. You put four of those in front of me, I probably couldn't tell the difference. So, but the marketing is so clever, especially with the whiskies. They say, oh, well, we've only made 4,000 of these. And you've got, Mr. Davies, you've got number 287. Wow, drives you at the office. I show the guys, anyone else has had that previously.
Now, you've got to have, I enjoy Johnny Walker. I love their gold and their green. Platinum and blue label are blue.
David,
there's a
sort of a legend when you go to a Jewish party, whether it be a post bar mitzvah party or a wedding celebration or something. You go to a Jewish party and there's a Johnny Walker Black bottle on the table. Always. Is that correct?
Yeah, always. Yeah. Shivers are trying to muscle in, but it's always Johnny Walker.
Yeah. And there's a really, really good bar mitzvah. It's Johnny Walker. Everyone enjoys the big trusty one up everybody.
Okay,
but you've got to learn to drink it.
Stop it. You're making me thirsty, both of you. Capital and Counties came out with their interim results for the 6 months ended 30th of June. In fact, David, just before we do that, because you tweeted about this today, LVMH, Louis Vuitton, Moët Hennessy came out with their results today. Fantastic numbers.
Amazing. Absolutely amazing. You know, the one thing that struck me traveling both in the U.S. recently, in the U.S. and the U.K., was how if you went into Selfridges or you went into Bloomingdale's or Saks, LVMH are restructuring all their all their shops within those department stores and that. And also they're very, very conscious of their range and the number of people that go in there. So it's, to me, it's become an area of luxury that is, what would the word, outstripping maybe cosmetics, meaning makeup and so on, and also watches. And, it's a much, much more, and if you look at the sales, the bags and leather goods and that did incredibly well. But there's something I picked up as well, it was on a Bloomberg article because I didn't go through the full results, was that in China what's happened, sales tax and import duties are down. And hence the Chinese are buying in China. They're not going traveling into Paris or into Hong Kong, into Japan and everything, and buying the LVMH basis. So it's a massive item. With the aspirational upcoming middle class as well. But results really, really super. They're down today because I think of Draghi and worries about the European economy and global economy. So they've come down with European stocks on those worries. But you can't fault their numbers. Beautiful numbers.
You can't fault them. Can you fault Capital and Counties, Greg? Their numbers, interim results for the 6 months ended June. I just can't get enthusiastic about property companies, whether it be here, whether it be in the UK, like whether it be in Poland. I just can't get excited.
From the high street, it's just shifted. And David was talking about online there, and I think that's maybe what's happened. I've had clients sitting with Capital and Counties, and about a week ago, we'd be people capitulating and just throwing the toys and the shares out. And it's, as David was pointing out, that there's such theoretically such good value here, but you just can't find anyone to buy the stock.
Lindsay, you know what happened? They offloading Covent Garden as a REIT.
Yes.
So they're splitting the two. Now, according to management, they put a value of £4.6 billion. On 2.6 billion pounds on Capco, correct, and call it 600 million on Earl's Court, which is really a development company. So if you put those two together, you come to a market value of, 55 billion rand. It's trading on our market at 32 billion rand. So if you look at that, you must say, hold on a sec, there's value. And I cynically said, listen, if you believe in Boris, and you think that Boris is going to swing things around, he's talking a big game now, talking a massive game, and everybody's getting excited, then it must be a steal. But I mean, no one's, as Greg said, no one's really coming in and saying, this is value. Everyone's saying no. So I stand back and say, I respect the market. I respect people who take money out of their back pocket and put it into the market. And no one's doing it. I'm going to wait.
The Covent Garden story is absolutely incredible because it was, of course, Convent Garden. It's been shortened, as the English like to do with certain words. It used to be Convent Garden. It was the garden of a convent many centuries ago. And then it became a fruit and veg market. And then the fruit and veg market, because of the congested nature of the City of London, the central London area, they went down to the south. Anyway, the fruit and veg market moved to the south of the river, and there was the new Covent Garden. And this place just sat there empty. And then some clever chap came along, or clever chaps or clever woman came along and said, this is going to be an incredible retail centre. And I remember in the late 1970s, as a kid living in the suburbs of London, going there when it first opened. This was a revelation to me. Covent Garden has been the most extraordinary retail success. David, you go there quite often, don't you?
Well, you know, it's just off Oxford Circus. Not Oxford Circus, Leicester Square, sorry.
Exactly.
Roundabout Leicester. And it's I was astonished by the number of people that walk through Covent Garden. I mean, it's packed with tourists. And the one thing about the London, it will continue no matter what to draw in tourists. Buckingham Palace, whatever it is. And yet, you know, the foot traffic there is incredible. So, and there are a lot of boutique shops, etc. And I can't understand. That's why I'm saying I'm a bit astonished that no one's picking up on this. So I'm not sure what's keeping them back from taking a punt on this one.
Is that our tip of the day? Is this becoming our tip of the day? It's your story of the day. What do you think?
You know what? It's been like this for some time. So I think the tip of the day has got the qualification. So I qualify it by saying if you really think, you know, if you believe Boris, then it's a good. If you think he's going to stuff up the UK, well then don't touch it. And I think what the market's saying to you on this one, nothing's going to change.
I love his enthusiasm, Greg. You're a Trump fan, David. I have to tell you this.
I'm a Boris fan, but David's quite right. So, I mean, this is a real test.
Yes.
It's fine for me to sit on Twitter and say how great Boris is, but I've got to put my money down, and then I'm a little bit more hesitant. I must be honest.
Yeah, he's great fun, and he's got a lovely haircut, and he's getting a bit of a hunch. I think he should work on his posture. But, David, I have to tell you that Greg Davies is a Trump supporter. Greg and David, have a chat about this, please.
Listen, as I was saying to Lindsay this morning, if Cyril was a bit more like Trump, we wouldn't be having any of these public protector problems. People would be fired left, right, and center. People would be in jail. But we've got a leader, Cyril, who's weak. And you've got a leader in the U.S. like Trump, who's strong, and look at what the economy is doing.
Now, to me, he's an odious man.
Thank you.
The big problem, what happened is that I think in many cases what he does is okay, but the way he delivers it is poor.
You know
what I'm saying? If he could do it in a refined way, he'd probably draw a lot more support, because he does get things done, and he doesn't hang around. But I mean, you know, even his attack on those four women, I don't care whether you like those women or not. And I'm not going to, you know, I don't know them well enough to comment. But I mean, as a president of the United States, you don't do that. You don't act in that way. These are Congress women who've been elected by people to represent them in Washington, and that. Have that kind of respect, you know. And that's where he's lacking. He's just uncouth. And that's a problem. But I think there are a lot of managers in businesses that have a similar kind of nature. So
I won't go from odious and uncouth to coronation, of course.
Exactly who you're talking about.
No, you don't.
The thought is, that, you know, you get the people which are never Trump. I'm on the camp of sometimes Trump. Sometimes he's right.
You're quite right.
And sometimes you need to be like him. You can't be never Trump, because occasionally he does do good things.
Okay, well, you've got to decide. Do you want Elizabeth Warren? She's starting to grow in popularity now.
Yeah.
Do you want Bernie? Do you want Biden?
Yeah.
You want Trump? I think that's becoming the issue.
That's the real issue. He's the least worst of that lot.
Let's talk about something called coronation fund managers. As per the communication for each calendar quarter end, shareholders are advised that Coronation's total assets under management as of the 30th of June 2019 are $579 billion. Now, I was chatting to somebody this afternoon, a fund manager, and you can get it on strictlybusinesspodcast.com, and you'll hear that if you have more than 200 billion in assets in South Africa, there's only 15 companies that you can really, or rather not really, you can invest in to make a difference to your portfolio. So 579 billion, Greg Davies, must be very, very difficult for Coronation.
Yeah, it must be difficult. And this is obviously Reg 28, and how much money you can take out of the country. There's 579 billion is implying, you know, outflows in Q2. So we're talking about dividend yields and PEs and what have you. Probably quite a good dividend yield at the moment, but probably not a comfortable space to be. Worldwide, these asset management businesses have been under pressure.
David, what do you think? I mean, I don't know how much you have under management, how many billions, but 579 must be a very, very difficult prospect to manage every morning.
In South Africa, definitely.
Yes.
I think it must give them a headache. If ever you've looked at their asset management publications, they own everything. And I always wonder, I'd say, what's your 250th stock? You know, which probably is something like AdCorp or some company like this. And it's got 0.01%, you know. I'd say, why are you there? You know what I mean? Yeah. So I sometimes question their conviction. They just own everything, and because of that reason, they have very, very limited flexibility.
Look, some years back, they did catch NusPass quite nicely, and that's how they pulled a lot of that money in. And if you think back to 2008, 2009, when all these small boutique fund managers were getting decimated, people went, let's go back to Big Daddy, let's go to Aaron Gray, let's go to Coronation. I think share price went from, was down as like 16, 17 Rand. So obviously, you know, rallied a lot from there. But they've lost their luster a little bit. And not you see the shareholder name on the shareholder list and don't say, okay, let me follow them in. I mean, they got badly burnt in African Bank, if you think back a couple of years ago.
Yeah. Okay.
I don't think there was only one. I think there was Sinov, everything around there. They own the lot, yeah. Well, they can't help it. They own the whole stock exchange.
They have to own it, though. Otherwise, they're not deploying their capital.
No. You can actually simplify it. They can own about 10 stocks, you know. They can buy a couple of stocks in there. Yeah, that's all. Okay. But they own everything.
You two can own anything you like. You can own... Anyway, let's have a look at the spot prices now. Dollar rand is 14.06, and we'll talk about that in a moment. British pound against the rand is 17.55. The euro rand is 15.69, and the euro dollar slightly weaker, 111.55 at the moment, which means I have to scroll down to my gold price screen, which perversely, with the weaker dollar, is down $7.50 to $14.18. The platinum price is down $6 to $8.71 per ounce. Greg, as always, give us the palladium price, please, because my Shannon screen.
Yeah, let me jump in there with the palladium. Yeah, up just over $3, trading at $15.43. So it's a little well off that sort of two weeks ago, $1,600. Sort of visited close to 1500, so in the middle of the range at the moment.
And the Brent crude oil price is 64.06, which is up 71 cents per barrel, or 1.1%. Overseas stock markets, well, the Dow Jones is down 84 today for a change. The S&P down around about 9, but still well over 3,011. So everything doing swimmingly there. Thank you very much. Overseas stock markets, David Shapiro, what do you think?
They're holding. They're holding a lot better than I thought. I thought by this stage, you know, understanding the background of the economy, I thought they would be down. But there's still money going in on the strength that interest rates are going down in the U.S. And fundamentally, their economy is still doing pretty well. We're going to get their GDP, second quarter GDP numbers tomorrow. But I mean, overall, I'm quite happy with the U.S. markets. I'm happy with the selection of shares that I own. Most of them are coming out with good numbers. But I mean, for the meantime, we're just ratcheting, you know, we're ratcheting higher, which is okay for me. But I don't know. I like raging bull markets. These are too boring for me. Yeah, Lindsay, I like activity. I like talking points, but...
I love activity. I'm looking forward to the football season starting in 2 weeks' time, which is more activity. European Central Bank paves way for fresh stimulus package. Draghi hints at new measures to boost ailing Eurozone economy. So it seems to me, David and Greg, that whenever something nasty happens, they say, oh, we're going to stimulate the economy with quantitative easing or lower interest rates. It seems to be a trend now. Is this the new trend?
The DAX and the CAC were both lower after Draghi's speaking. So I think he didn't install a lot of confidence. A hell of a boring guy to listen to. So I find myself tuning out. But just from feedback from the traders, they felt a little bit negative, and that's what dragged those European markets lower.
I wonder if he's not waiting for Christine Lagarde to come in. You know, in other words, I don't want to say a hospital pass, but do something that that she might not want to do, and say, okay, listen, things are getting worse. We're going to, you know, let's leave it for her to take over. I don't know when his last meeting is and when she does take over, but I probably handing over to a new administration. He might want to say, okay, I'm not going to do anything ahead of her. Let her make the decision on where she sees things going.
Yeah, it felt like you were dodging some of the questions at the end. He wasn't giving concise answers there at all.
Mm-mm. Yeah, Christine Lagarde, to me, I mean, she's quite bossy looking. I'd be quite scared of her if she was my boss or my wife or something. Let's have a look at the top five major moves to the... to the upside and the downside and the JSE. Greg, I've got AB InBev up 6.1%. Amazing. Kumba Iron Ore up 3.6%, CAP up 3.4%. Sirius, we don't need to worry about that. But have a look at those sharenet.co.za top five major movers. We've spoken about AB InBev. It's a massive move for a massive company. Anything else there that grabs your attention?
Yeah, well, see, on the, just in general, I see Mass was a little bit higher, but the property stocks looked a little bit stronger today. I'm not sure what was behind that. Some of the other ones, resilience up about 1.5%. So maybe some money coming from the property stocks. David, did you see any of that?
I try to avoid them at the moment. I can't read it. But they were. If I'm just taking a quick snapshot. Other than Capco and maybe Hammerson, which were down slightly, there seem to be gains right across the board. And I can't really give a reason why, particularly, you know, if I was fearing a downgrade of South African debt, that means literally debt would go higher. I thought they would have a negative effect on the property market, but it just shows you how wrong I am, you know, and how useless I can be. So, my reasoning would be
complicated. Yeah,
my reasoning would be.
Sorry, Dan. I'm just looking at the trade in Mass, which is the property stock, Mass Real Estate. It sort of moved higher in the sort of last few minutes of trades. It jumped from around 20 rand 28 to 35,000 shares, moving it to 20 rand 86. So I'm not sure for a particular reason somebody wanted to finish an order, but maybe it doesn't continue at that price tomorrow. It might be anomaly of the closing auction.
On the downside, we had Sasol, 6.4% weaker. This is really, really disturbing to me, especially with the oil price at an elevated level and also with the rand under pressure at 14.05 to 14.10. Reunert down 4.75%. Another really big move for a great South African company. Mr. Price down 4.6%. Massmart down 4.25%. Shoprite down 3.9%. It's almost as though the sensitivity on these retail stocks, David, is to the downside. As soon as you get a little bit of rand weakness and maybe a pressure on the bond market, then these retailers go down. These are massive moves on the downside.
They are big moves. There are a couple of others that we can talk about maybe next week that are worrying me as well. But I think this has to do with concerns that we are going to get a downgrade. But some other stocks that are heading towards very, very precarious points. Discovery down 3.5% today. Dischem down another 3%. And I'm not Lindsay, I like to look at charts because it always gives you an idea of where the support comes in and where the resistance is as well. So some of these stocks starting to look technically very, very weak. Blue Label down again. So I call these, I've got a wall of worry. And all these stocks exist on that there. You know, these are the ones. Sasol was there. A lot of stocks that are starting to show weak signs in our market that are very, very concerning.
Yeah, I think that Shoprite for me is the big worry. I'm not sure what the technicals are, but at 150 for me, psychological level, but Mr. Price, Massmart. Shoprite and Massmart, we're waiting for trading updates. Obviously, the results will be out next month, but the longer it takes, it's now a week late for Massmart, the market's starting to get nervous and going, why is it taking so long? Surely, maybe they don't want to scare us. And exactly what you said, the market actually started positive this morning. Obviously, we were carried by the resources, but the banks and everything were positive. And then obviously, Moody's giving us that warning, and that just knocked the wind out of the market. There was a big seller of Aussies at around lunchtime. Something's on the go here. I sent a WhatsApp to Lindsay, and it doesn't feel comfortable, the market. But those three down on the worst performers, it is a concern.
Yeah, what held us up, if you look at the top six or seven stocks, ABM, it doesn't go into the index, but Naspers, British American Tobacco, BHP, Glencore, Richemont, Anglos, all of those were in positive territory.
Yeah, no special.
And that kept us alive. That gave the underpin. So we ended up down 0.1% in the all share. But I mean, take that away. I think there were a lot more negative stocks and if you exclude that, big pressure on our retailers, on our banks and that. So It's not an easy place to make a living here anymore.
They're not giving money away like they used to.
Yeah, I feel really sorry for both of you, actually. Yeah. It's terrible. I'm just trying to get this thing that I got from PSG. I sent it to both of you earlier today.
Let me do the indices.
Yeah.
and it was all to do with the amount of stocks that are in bear markets. Now, if you can just talk amongst yourselves just for a minute or so while I get it up again, I'll send it to you. But talk about climate change, David, with Greg at the moment, because Greg is a climate change denialist. You, David, as an intelligent human being, are not. But I'm sitting in Rotterdam at the moment with 39-degree heat, and there's no one on the road. There's no cars on the road. Nobody's doing anything. So therefore, it is a productivity sapper. And in the future, unfortunately, there's going to be mass migration from countries and jurisdictions and areas that people cannot inhabit anymore, and therefore that will put pressure on areas that can be inhabited, and the story goes on. David, talk to Greg about climate change, and please try and stop him from being a Trumpist.
You know, 6,000 years ago there was an ice age, and all the ice melted. Didn't hear anybody saying it's global warming. Sometimes it
might because there was nobody there.
They never had internet in those days.
Thank you very much.
No Twitter, no one knew it was happening.
My argument with the whole thing is it's probably just nature's way of, you know, just keeping us on our toes and whatever. And these things have probably happened. We obviously didn't have records going back. So we're just presuming that we're on top of the situation.
No, I just think we should behave properly, that's all. I just think that miners and everybody must learn and respect the environment. And therefore, you know, don't kill it and just also, you know, mining can do immense damage to, you know, to wonderful areas. And we've seen that in the Amazon. We've seen it all over, what commerce can do. And I just want people to behave properly, that's all. You know? I'm a great supporter of alternative energy, when you can use wind, whether you can use sun, for very reasons. I realize it's going to take a long time before it has any major impact on it, but... You know, when you see smokestacks, when I drive behind a car in Joburg, you know, that's spewing out diesel fumes and that. Yeah, I do get a little angry. And
I was at the Alan Gray Investment Summit on Wednesday, and it was a lady from Orbis called Ashley Lynn, and she gave a talk about electric cars are not the future. And what she was saying, natural gas could replace coal, you know, coal-powered fire stations, power stations. And that would make a massive difference. She actually gave the data. Would, you know, it would be like 100,000 Teslas wouldn't actually save us the same amount of emissions. So I think people just have to get cleverer with the way they're using, you know, fuel and so on.
Okay, here we go. I've got this thing from PSG. Thank you, PSG. I'm just trying to get the name of the fellow that has penned this article. Oh, gosh, I really have to scroll up. His name is Philip Wirtz. Philip Wirtz. From PSG, and these stats really astounded me. Have a listen to this. Just over 75% of the Tokyo Stock Price Index, the TOPIX 1000, a little more than 64% of the FTSE 100, and a whopping 86% of the FTSE JSE All Share Index companies are trading in their own bear market. For, when expressed in the local currencies, 81% of the TOPIX, it goes on. If you look at it as a 20% rule, then there is a massive market that is in a bear market. And what I'm saying is that there are the haves and the have-nots in the stock markets, just like there are haves and the have-nots in the socioeconomic market. The world is getting richer for certain people. The world is getting poorer for certain people. And when it comes to stock markets, there are the haves and the have-nots, which is extraordinary. These numbers that I'm reading now and I've sent to you are extraordinary.
Very, very difficult to make money for clients in this environment. We were speaking on Tuesday about resource counters, and that's probably the only place where you could have, if you caught this resource run from beginning of January 16 till now, you'd have done fabulously well, but you can't. You know, you've obviously got to have a selection of stocks. You can't be in all of those, and that's what's so difficult. We were talking about coronation earlier, but any of us can step on the, you know, landmine of a Steinhoff at any minute here with this market, and it's a majority of shares. In a bear market, it's been difficult.
Lindsay, I think I'm trying to do a quick stat in my head, but what I'm trying to point out is that if you look at the JSE, and I'm going to take the, let's call it the All Share Index, probably, which consists of maybe 150, 160 shares, I would reckon that only 10% of those shares outperform. In other words, 10% of the stocks there rose higher than the all share. In other words, I'm trying to give you the weighting. you know what I mean? A huge number of shares have lost. While the all share index is up, there's a mammoth amount of stocks that are actually in negative territory. Many, many of them losing more than 20% since the beginning of the year. So there's you know, which really justifies what you were saying. So there are a huge number of shares that are in bear market territory on the JSE, and which start off at, you know, from everything from Rebosis, I'm trying to look at a list here, to Brait, to Massmart, EOH, CAP. You know, these have lost enormous value since the beginning of the year. Netcare, Blue Label, Sappi, Imperial, Steinhoff, Aspen, Invicta.
It's a wailing wall of stocks.
The list just goes on. And all of these are down 30 to 40% since the beginning of the year.
Yeah, a lot. I mean, think of something like Brait. I mean, Brait is at 15 Rand. 50. All you really had to do the minute
15?
The Steinhoff. Yeah. All you really had to do the minute the Steinhoff thing broke is just short every Christo Visa stock and sit back with your feet on, or go to the milk bar where the Tiger Milk. And just chill there.
You know what, Lindsay? The exercise, what you have to decide upon, is try and differentiate those that were hurt by the economy, you know, that couldn't help themselves, and those where management have just taken their eye off the ball, become too aggressive, or overbelieved their own, you know, or kind of overbelieved, or sorry, believed in their own publicity. That's what I was looking for. You know, many believe in their own publicity. They think they're superstars, but not
the poster
really.
Child is Marcus, of course.
How can anyone call a company Rebosis? It sounds like a monkey. Greg, give us the closing JSE indexes, please.
Okay, we're getting there. All right. So the banks banks finished down 1.5. Financials down 0.95. Industrials down 1.5. Retailers, we spoke about those stocks, down 2.29. Gold index being the one sort of green island in the sea of red, up 3/4. Platts up 1/4. And then the resources up 0.12. So slightly lower. We were helped by the resources down 0.10. 55 points down, 57,663. Almost the bad thing is the volume was 21.1 billion. So on a day like this, you'd actually want, whether we're selling in the bank's financials, you don't want it to be on big volume, which was the case. I suppose a lot of results in Enhouses and NASPAS did a good trade.
Greg, how do we get hold of you? I never do this, but I'm going to do it now. How do we get hold of you? Because people are obviously enthralled by your insight.
Obviously. It's probably the easiest on emails at greg@kratos.co.za.
David Shapiro, how do we get hold of you?
Kratos with a C.
C with a, yeah. It's a Greek word for war.
Is that so? Me, I'm at david.shapiro@sassman.com.
Gentlemen, thanks so much for that. That was the 5 o'clock shadow. David Shapiro from Sassman and Greg Davies from Kratos Capital. We'll be back same time next Tuesday. That podcast was proudly brought to you in association with sharenet.co.za. Visit strictlybusinesspodcast.com and subscribe to receive exclusive content straight to your inbox. strictlybusinesspodcast.com, made possible by Prudential Investment Managers.